If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be turning to John chapter 1 this morning. John chapter 1. I appreciate that Sunday school message this morning. That was a blessing. I appreciate you following the Lord. It lines up and helps me with what I've got to preach this morning. Kind of lines up along the same thought pattern. In John chapter 1, I'm going to have a lengthy passage this morning. Nothing, no incredible great revelation. I know it's a familiar scripture. I've preached from it before on many occasions. But I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 30. And my thought this morning is just beholding Jesus. Let's start reading in John chapter 1, verse 1 through 30. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, This was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask Him, Who art Thou? And He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked Him, What then? Art Thou Elias? He saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying unto him, Why baptizest thou then? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet. And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is He of whom I've said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, what I pray now as we go into this service, Lord, this worship hour, Lord, I pray that You'd help me. Lord, I pray that You'd use Your Word. Lord, I pray that You'd let it send forth. I pray that this message would touch somebody's heart. Lord, to focus more on You. Lord, to live more for You. Lord, to worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we thank You for this opportunity to be here, Lord, with this fine folk in this church. We thank You, Lord, for their love for You and for their graciousness in having us here. We pray that You bless them today. Bless their pastor as he's out presenting his work. Lord, I pray that You'd put a burden on the people for him. Lord, I pray that You'd use him mightily today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think about for just a brief moment. I've got 10 points, so I'm going to have to hurry through this. Maybe I should have started a little sooner, maybe. But anyway, you know, we get to be holding a lot of things in our life. We behold a lot of things in everyday life, and we tend to let those things that we behold have an effect on us. They have a hold on us, an influence, if you would. We allow that influence, whether it's good or bad, to affect how we live, to affect our decisions. So what we behold is very important. And now there's a difference between seeing and beholding. Now I can see every one of you standing out here today, sitting here. But when I begin to look at you and really behold you, I can see, sister, you're wearing a gold necklace. Now I can see the flowers on my wife's skirt. I can see the stripes on Brother JT's tie. That's when you start beholding. I can see the pattern on your skirt. I can see those things. I'm beholding them now. Now, before I just saw you sitting there. But when I started beholding you, I started noticing your attributes. I started noticing your defining characteristics. And that's one thing we get from beholding Christ is we begin to emulate Christ. That's what we want to do as Christians, is be more like Christ. But we behold a lot of things that make us not like Christ. And I've got a few things I want us to focus on. You know, to behold means to fix your eyes upon, to see with attention or observe with care. Now, have we done that this morning with Christ? Have we gone to Him this morning in worship and in prayer with thankfulness? Have we gone to Him this morning? Have we focused our attention to Him? This is His day. Have we focused our attention to Him? Are we beholding Him like we should? Now, this world beholds a lot of things. I was amazed. We were driving through Asheboro the other day, and we passed a little car dealership on the one side, and then on the right side, there was a little psychic shop set up. They're reading tarot cards and reading palms. And I said, man, it's amazing. But that's what this world's beholding. You know, they're going to every which way. They're trying to behold everything they can get to fix their life. They're letting those things have an influence on them. I mean, me and you, we look at them and we think they're nut jobs, you know. We think they're going to tell you your future by reading your hand. You know, it's foolishness is what it is. But they're beholding that and they're basing their life off of those things. Those things that that person is showing to them and they're beholding, that's what they're taking and building their life off of. You know, and we do it even in the religious set. You know, we see all these different denominations. We're driving up the road, just down the road here, there's a Wesleyan church. I told my wife, I said, it's been probably years since I've passed a Wesleyan church. They're more common kind of back where I'm from in the mountain area. I used to see them a lot, but down here. But I'm amazed, you know, the different denominations you've got. You've got everyone's looking, trying to behold in a different way. You've got the Catholics trying to behold in their way. You've got the Presbyterians and the Pentecostals and the Methodists and the Wesleyans trying to behold in their own way. You know, but the things they're beholding are not the things that we as Christians should behold. You know, they're beholding their works. They're beholding the things, their good deeds that they've done. They're beholding that infant baptism is what that's going to get them to heaven. And that's just simply not the case. Why it's important to behold. First, let me tell you how we behold. Because it's very, John, he beheld Christ in worship. When he sees Him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You know, and that's how we've got to come to Christ, is behold our Lamb. You know, we've got to come to Christ. How we behold Him is we behold Him through our prayer and praise and worship. But we behold Him as our Savior. And that's why it's important to behold Christ, because we can read the Bible. And how many of us have gone through day to day and just read the Bible, not really got anything out of it, but to really study? How many of us have really beheld this Bible? You know, I'm guilty. You know, there's days I've gone by without really beholding what's in the Bible. Now, I've read the Bible. I've read the Bible from cover to cover many times. But there's a difference. You know, a lot of people, we'll go to the beginning and we'll skip all those names in Exodus and all, you know, all the begatting that's going on. And we're not beholding anything. I believe every verse, God preserved His Word. And I believe every verse, every jot, every tittle is meant for us. You know, that's why it's important to behold. Because by beholding Christ, it's important for me, because that's how I'll know His will for my life. Those people out there at that tarot card place this morning or yesterday or going out there tomorrow, they're trying to behold something for their life. You know, I can behold everybody's opinion, but only God's leadership in my life will get me anywhere. And so many people are confused about their destiny, about what they're supposed to do in this life. That's why you see them. That's why the suicide rate's up so much. That's why these people, they don't know what they're doing. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to look to. But for us as Christians, it's important because Christ, beholding Christ is how we God, He's our God. He's the only way that I can know what's right for my life, by following His example. By beholding Christ is the way I live right. to live righteously. We follow Christ's righteous example. The only way to be more like Christ is to focus and learn from His ways. Learn from His attributes. Take what you see from Christ and apply it in your own lives. To live right. To be strengthened. We need to behold Christ to be strengthened. You know, if we don't behold Christ, you know, we go day after day after day after day. And I've seen people that call themselves Christians. And I don't know how they do it, Brother JT, but they're not in the Word. They're not in the prayer closet. They're not praying. And when you come before them, they're not strengthened. And you know, we as Christians need to be strengthened to help our fellow Christians. But if you're not strengthened, you can't help strengthen anybody else. You know, in Philippians, it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, it doesn't say you can do all things. A lot of people just like to stop it right there. I can do all things. But no, we can't do all things. We've got to be strengthened by the Word of God. We've got to be strengthened through the worship and through the praise of God. We've got to be strengthened even from God's discipline sometimes. You know, we've got to let God tell us we're wrong in some places. We've got to let God tell us, no, that's not right. That's going to hurt you. And we can be strengthened from that. You know, one thing I see that's affecting a lot of churches, and I'm glad for this church. I'm amazed at the work this church has done just in the past year with that missions jubilee. I know churches 3, 4, 5, 6 times this size that wouldn't have attempted to do something that great. You better thank God for your pastor. He's a good man, great man, hardest working man I know. Other than my dad, he's the hardest working man I know. He works on cars. He's got the job working on them buses, and he's pastoring a church. That's a busy man. That's a busy man. You better give him your full attention when he's up here, because he's studying hard. He's traveling around presenting his burden on his heart. You know, there's not a lot of pastors with a burden anymore. There's not a lot of pastors. There's not a lot of churches beholding Christ anymore. The reason y'all still going on, even though it's small, don't discount that because it's small. God works where two or three are gathered. He said He'd be there in the midst. And I'd rather Him be in the midst of my life than for us to be 500, 600, 700 strong and Him be out by the side of the road. I'd rather us be in here having a good time this morning, worshiping God in song through the good Sunday school lesson we had this morning and through preaching than I'd rather have Christ in my heart and in my life touching me, helping me to live right, know His will, and then for me to stop beholding and just wander. You know, that's why we see a lot of young people. That's why this house ain't full this morning with a lot of young people. Because people stop beholding. You know, a lot of churches are closing their doors because they stop beholding Christ. That's why people leave the will of God. They stop beholding God's will. They stop beholding Christ. They leave the will of God. People stop growing. You know, you get some churches and people start, you see them come in and they're fresh and they get saved sometimes and then they start growing and you're encouraged and then they get to a certain plateau and they stop. You know, and they get to a point where maybe their first trial hit them and it hit them hard. And I'm not discounting that. We could have something just devastating happen to us anytime. You know, God's been good to us that we're sitting in here this morning and we've got good clothes and food to eat and decent vehicles to drive. There's a lot of people out here probably in your own community that you don't even know about that don't have half of what we have. And so, you know, it's important for us to behold that. It's important for us to behold so we don't have weak churches and be weak Christians. And that's why sin runs rampant in churches. That's why these people that are saved, they go through and they go out and they get in sin. You know, we've had some in our own church. We've had a young boy, he went out and he joined the military against the advice of everybody that he talked to. And he's out in the world now. And we pray for him every day. You know, but I can't help think about Paul when he called Mark out to him. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He said that Mark was useful for him for the ministry. But he said, Demas has forsaken him. But Demas once traveled with him. Demas was right there with Paul. But you know what Demas also had a hand? He suffered with Paul. When Paul was in prison. So you think Demas, he might maybe had a wife, family. Maybe it wasn't the sin of the world that he loved, but maybe it was just he wanted to live. Maybe it was just I don't want to die. You know? But a lot of churches they get in sin, and a lot of churches invite it in. A lot of so called Baptist churches are inviting sin in and they've stopped beholding. And we need to behold Christ for, like I said, to find His will, to live right, to know what He wants us to do, to know what His will for this church is. to go forward. We need to be beholding Christ in unity. Not just relying on your pastor to do all the work, but you need to be in there. Grab a root and growl, as my dad liked to say. Greg, get in there. Whether it's washing the toilets, whatever you got to do, be in there. Be a blessing. Because one thing you do is one less thing he has to do. And I'm not for pastor worship. That's a big thing in Carolina. You see a lot of preacher worship going on. But I believe when you got a good man of God, you got to take care of him. Because there's a lot of churches that ain't got him. There's a lot of churches that just ain't got them. Some of them got good men, but they can't do what they, you know, a lot of them might be older and they can't do it. So you got a good pastor with a heart for missions. I mean, I'm seeing all those missionaries' prayer cards on there right now for a church this size. That's a miracle. I'll tell you. That's a miracle. God has blessed you all. I will tell you. And He will continue to bless. He will continue to use this church. I believe He will. I look forward every time I get to come here. I always feel right at home. I've never once come through these doors and felt awkward. You know, I'm awkward anyway. But I've never once come through these doors and felt, you know, not felt the Spirit of God in some way, shape, or form rest on me. You know, or feel like the people are really in there helping their pastor. And I appreciate you for that. I applaud you for that. But back to this, you know, we need to focus on Christ. We need to behold Christ to be encouraged. You know, we receive encouragement. I think of David. David encouraged himself in his God. He said, I encourage myself in God. You know, friends may fail you. You may not be able to be encouraged by some friends. Job called his friends, he said, miserable comforters are ye all to his friends. But you know, friends may fail you. People may fail you. Your job may fail you. Christ won't fail you. And if you need encouragement, depression is running rampant. You know, even among the military, I live in a military town down by Fort Bragg. And, you know, the PTSD, you know, a lot of people claim it and they don't really have it. But it's bad down there. You know, even in our own church, we've got people, preachers that were in the military and they suffer from that. They get the nightmares and, you know, they'll see a bag on the side of the road and they start shaking and they can't function. You know, and without God, you can't do with that. You need to be encouraged. And sometimes you can't encourage yourself. Sometimes you need to get with God and have God encourage you. And by beholding, we receive encouragement from beholding Christ. We behold His goodness toward us. That's what encourages us, is by beholding Christ's goodness to us. When I behold the things Christ has done for me, through my family, for my wife and my kids, and for my mom and dad. You know, I grew up in a pastor's home. You know, and not every time was easy. I remember some discouraging times. You know, I remember when my dad first started pastoring, his first pastorate in Michigan, it was discouraging. I was just 8 years old. But I can remember very vividly my dad's heartache and his pain. I can remember the discouragement that was up there when they told us to leave. You know, my dad thought he was done. You know, but you've got to encourage yourself in the Lord. You've got to focus on the Lord's goodness during those times, because we all have ups and downs. That's life. You know, and I don't subscribe to the every day's a Friday preacher theories that they like to throw out there. You know, where if you're a Christian, every day's going to be filled with joy and happiness. You know, and God gives a peace that passes all understanding. So even in time of trial, you can still have peace. Don't get me wrong. But every day is not going to be a cakewalk. God didn't call us to a cakewalk. And I believe it's coming back around, this persecution. I mean, the Shooks, he's in jail. He got in prison for preaching. And because then people don't like to hear it. You know, that town, that's like very, I guess, hipster kind of town, if you want to say it, for lack of a better word. You have a lot of those, the gay prides stuff go through there. And a lot of big events that happen, a lot of, I think it's called like Fourth Fridays or First Fridays or something. They have big rock bands come in, and it's a very wicked place. And they put those ordinances in pretty much to keep them out from preaching. So pray for them, because this will really be a test of your First Amendment rights. Because if he does end up getting sentenced for that, pastors won't be far behind. Churches won't be far behind. So you need to pray for that, because that's going to be a deciding thing. It's bigger than what you think it is. I promise you, it's bigger than what you think it is. But you can be encouraged in Christ. Even through all the bad things, we can be encouraged through Christ. He never let us down. I think of David when he was running from Saul, thinking he was living in out of caves. And he had multiple times where he could have taken Saul's life. But he didn't. You know, he loved God. And even though he failed God in some ways, he didn't get back up till he was right with God. He didn't get back up till he had confessed his sin with God or till he had been encouraged with God to make any decisions. So I can be encouraged by beholding Christ. You know, my faith is restored by beholding Christ. By thinking about His faithfulness toward me, I can be restored in my faithfulness toward Him. Because we think of faith, we think of God's faithfulness to us, and a lot of times we don't reciprocate that faithfulness. God's been so faithful to us to let us wake up this morning, not just in the spiritual things, but just in our own body, to let us have decent health to be here, to let us be able to wake up this morning, have both arms, both legs, His faithfulness toward us. You know, and we should reciprocate that back in praise and love for Him, and in our faith to Him, we should trust Him. God wants us to trust Him. He's trusting us. He loves us. He's let us have, it's a blessing to be able to have faith in a God that can take care of you no matter what. You know what? I couldn't imagine being in the Henry family situation this morning. I couldn't imagine it. I could not imagine it. But they were, from the words I've heard being spoken about them, their faith is good. And that's real, where the real test comes in, where you start reciprocating that faith. God, You've been faithful to me. You've been good to me. So I'm going to be faithful to You. I'm still going to be in church when the doors are open. I'm still going to pray. No matter what happens, when I behold how faithful You've been to me, how faithful You are, that You've given us a once-for-all salvation, just in that alone. Just the fact that He died one time and He saves us. We don't have to go back like all these people and get reborn again and keep getting saved. No, one time we're done. Just in that. Just the fact that we have heaven to go to. He's been a faithful God. He has done more. If He never blessed me, if I had to walk around with no shoes on my feet, not a good shirt, no good pants, nothing, He would still have been faithful to me. Amen. And I should reciprocate that faithfulness and trust Him and love Him and be thankful for what He's given me and give my tithe. Yeah, I got to hit on money. Give my tithe, give my offerings, give the missions. I got to do that. I've got to do that to be faithful to God. And by my faith being restored, by beholding Christ, my love is restored. You know, the reason we can come in, preachers, the reason that people can have guest preachers come in is because we have a unifying love through God. We have a unifying love through Christ and salvation that we can come in and automatically just pick up where we left off. You know, our love is restored by beholding Christ. You know, I get some places sometimes in my personal life where I don't love like I should. I don't love folks like I should. I don't love lost like I should. I don't love my saved, my brothers and sisters in the Lord. I don't love them like I should. I'm just being honest down to the dirt, honest with you, nitty gritty. Just getting down there. My love sometimes ain't been right. My love for God sometimes ain't been right. My love has to be restored. You know, my love is restored by Him, by beholding Him. By beholding Him on that cross, how He loved us and how He said, "It is finished." He finished our salvation plan. He began it. He started it. He authorized it. He authored it. And then He finished it right there on that cross. And it was His love that held me to that tree for me. You know, He shed every drop of blood in His precious body, every drop of sinless blood for me. And like Brother JT said, who would do that? You know, who would do that? And you know, it's not that who could, because I'm sure parents, you know, the love of parents, we'd love to do something. We'd love to be able to save our kids. You know, there's nothing greater I'd love to do than be able to send all my babies to heaven. You know, just be able to speak it and it be done. Or be able to give something of myself and it be done. But there's no one that can do it. That's why they can't. That's why all those false gods, they if they could do it, they would do it. But they can't do it. They can't do it. Old Buddha's still in the grave. If you walk by, you go see Muhammad, he's still in there. He's still in there. But Jesus is rose. He's alive today. That's why we come in church and we work and worship with joy. And you go into these other churches, you look at these other denominations and they're that's not worship. That's not worship of any kind of spirit. They're worshiping a spirit, but it's not the Spirit of God. But my love can be restored through beholding Christ's love for me, how much He's loved me, how He's taken care of me, provided for me. But when I behold through faith and through love, that restores my humility. My humility sometimes needs to be restored. You know, we're a prideful creature. We're real prideful. You know, we're not like animals. I think of animals, you know, like little dogs and cats and stuff. Now, cats, no, they're prideful. But dogs, you know, they're humble. You know, they really, you know, without you, they'd almost be hopeless. You know, they get to that point where they're just so domesticated, they get to that place. You know, if they rose up in pride, what do? We knock them back down. And I don't want God to have to do that to me. I don't want God to have to judge me, to have to rebuke me for being lifted up in pride, for not being humble. But you know, when I think of His love and His faith, His encouragement that He's given me along the way, His guidance through my life, my humility is restored. Realizing that it's all Him. It's all Him this morning. It's all about Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about Christ. We're just a feeble people. I think about how fragile the human body is. Like you were saying this morning, your sister, she bent over. Didn't fall down, didn't drop out of something, she just bent over. Fragile. We're a fragile, fragile people. I mean, I've heard even sneezing. If you sneeze the wrong way, it can cause problems. We're fragile. So we should be humble. We should be humble in the fact God made us in His image. That God thought enough of His creation that He'd make us like Him in our physical form. I need Christ in every aspect of my life. And I've got too much to lose, not to be prideful, to raise up above what I know I am. Because pride goeth before a fall. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't want to be destroyed. I'd rather not be prideful. I'd rather not be the glitz and glamour of this world and just stay my humble, normal self and let Christ use me than for me to get puffed up in pride and to lose my family and to lose my friends, to lose fellowship with believers because I get puffed up in pride. To ruin my life. I've seen pride cause people to sin. Think that they're untouchable. That they can get away with anything. I've seen it. And that we need our humility restored. We need that humility sometimes. We just need to get on the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been prideful. I ain't trusted You like I should. I ain't put my faith in You like I should. I haven't come to You like I should every day. I haven't searched You out. I haven't come to You for encouragement. I haven't come for You to worship or to praise You or to pray to You, to bring my needs before You, to bring my worship before You in my secret time. I haven't done that. Lord, I need to be humbled. Lord, I need You to come back and work on my heart. And I think that's a good place for every Christian to stay. Is just to be on their knees constantly before Christ. But I'm glad once we're humble and our love is right and our faith is right and we're right in Christ, we're doing His will, that Christ gives us rest and peace and help. I think of that verse in Matthew 11. He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. I'm glad when we go through those trials and of testing and heavy tribulations, that we can go to Christ and He can give us a peace that passes all understanding. That's a peace that we can't understand. It would blow our mind how much peace that we could have with Christ. And it says, when we behold, sometimes we let those big issues take our attention. And it might be something in someone's life here today that's a big issue for you. But Christ said, come unto Me. He said, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He said, when I behold Christ, my big issues aren't so big anymore. I know God can take care of them. Just like your sister saying, God on the mountain, He's God in the valley. He's still God in the valley. He's the one that put that rose of Sharon down there for us. He's the one, He's our light through the valley of the shadow of death. He's the one that's there with us. He's our help. Well, no matter what we're going through, even when you're at death's door, it don't matter. He can still give a peace and a help. I think of my pastor, not my dad, but the pastor from the church we're out of, Brother Floyd Perry is his name. He's had cancer multiple times, had heart issues multiple times, heart surgeries. In one of those heart surgeries, he was just feeling so depressed. And the only thing he could do to help himself was get in the Word of God, and Christ would give him peace and give him rest and just be with him and encourage him. But we need that. And I want to be where God wants me so I can feel His touch, so I can be under His presence and be with in His peace. Because where Christ is, there is peace. He's the Prince of Peace. So where He is, there's peace. And I think about those disciples when they was out on the water struggling. But when Christ came, when they got Christ up, He said, peace be still. Where I am, there's going to be peace. In the middle of a storm, you can have peace. Amen. And then lastly, I want us to look at beholding how God's love shows us a need for our Savior. I don't know how many people we might have lost in here. I don't know each and everyone's heart, but I assume most of us are saved. But I think about the the soldier that was standing by Jesus on the cross. You know, he saw the works that were done. He saw the people come back to life, the veil rent, the earth shake, everything go dark. And he said, surely this was the Son of God. You know, I think when we start seeing the love of Christ, Him on that cross, I believe it shows us our sinful state. Beholding Christ will show you your sinful state. Just like that soldier, he saw his state. When he stood next to him, he said, surely this was the Son of God. And you know, when we behold Jesus Christ on that cross, dying for our sin, how perfect He was, and how poorly and miserably we treated Him. How we put that thorn, I mean, it was as bad as we were standing there doing it ourselves. Our sin was just as bad. He died for their sins just as well as ours. But that centurion soldier, he realized his need there on that by that cross. And that sinner that was up on the cross next to him, he realized his need. He saw Christ. Now, he was on the cross as well. But he knew there was something different about this man in the middle. He saw this man in the middle do something in his life right there. That earth shook for him on that cross. That earth shook. It went dark for him. Those people came back to life and were seeing their old friends again. That man on that cross saw it. And how that one on the other side mocked is a mystery to me. I'll never know. Like you said, you need a checkup from the neck up. I'll never know how he got through that. But that one on the right side, he said, remember me. Lord, remember when you come in your kingdom, remember me. You know, and that's what we need to. We need to realize the first time we really behold Christ is when in that spirit of conviction. You know, and I think about verse 14 of this chapter. You know, in verse 14, John says, the Word was made flesh, and it dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then we jump down to verse 17. It says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now what Christ reveals to us by focusing on Him in that spirit of conviction, when we see Him as our Savior, the first time a person really beholds Christ, you beheld Him in your sinful state. You behold Him in all His glory. And that glory shows you how worthless you are. You see the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glory of the Father, of the Son, and the Father that gave Him to us. You see the glory, the righteousness of Him in His glory. And you have to admit you're inferior in every way. We're a sinner. We see that glory. It says the glory is of the only begotten of the Father. It says full of grace and truth. Now, it says in verse 17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So that glory, it showed us the grace and truth. That glory revealed to us the sin, but then Christ gave us grace and truth. He said, the truth is you're a sinner. The truth is you was born lost. But the grace is I'm dying for you. And I'm raising again for you. I'm shedding my blood for you that you might be saved. You know, and then we can behold Him. You know, we need to behold Him as John said. John answered them. He said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That's where we behold Him first time. We behold Him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That He's behold the Lamb that's going to take away my sin. Behold Christ that's going to save me from myself, save me from my fallen nature, and from Adam's fall and the curse on man. He's going to save me from my sin. That's the first time we come to Christ. The first interaction we have with Christ is that convicting coming to Him. Behold, He's the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world. That can take away your sin. But then if we jump down, to verses 35, after the rest of it goes on. It says, verse 35, John the next day, and the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold the Lamb of God. Now notice he did it differently this time. He said, not behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He just said, behold the Lamb of God. After you get saved, it's no longer behold the Lamb of God that takes away my sin. Now, even though it still is, He still forgives me of my sin. Every day of my life, I'm a sinner. I have to repent. But I can come to Him as behold the Lamb of God. And I can look on my, because He sees me. When He sees me, all He sees is the blood of the Lamb covering it. So when I come to Him, I can say, behold my Lamb of God. Behold my Savior. I can worship Him. And you know, and then it goes on to say, they keep going. It says, the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. We need to follow Jesus. We behold Him and we follow Him. I've already said that. But He says, then Jesus saith unto them, He says, what seek ye? And they said unto Him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And He saith unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where He dwelt and abode with Him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. You know, one day we're going to behold Him face to face. You know, these disciples, the two disciples, their desire was to be where Jesus was. They were with John, and they said, John said, behold, it's the Lamb of God, it's our Savior. And they said, Lord, they said, Jesus said unto them, what seek ye? And they said, where dwellest thou? You know, I want to be with Christ. I want to be where He's dwelling. I want to be in His house on Sunday where He's dwelling down here. You know, I want to be with Him. I want Him to be in my life. I want to follow Him. I want to behold Him as my Lord and follow Him like these disciples did. And I want to be where He is. Anywhere Christ is where I want to be. And then one day we'll behold Him face to face and we'll get to live with Him every day in heaven. And I thank God for that. I'm done this morning. And I hope the message has been a help to you in just beholding Christ for a little bit.